1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5. You younger men, likewise, be subject to your elders. And all of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another. For God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. The fourth membership question in our congregation and in the Orthodox Presbyterian Church goes something like this. Do you agree to submit in the Lord to the government of this church, and in case you should be found delinquent in doctrine or life, to heed its discipline? For some reason, that particular membership question gives more difficulty to more people than some of the others. And I think John Calvin hits the nail on the head when he says, nothing is more contrary to the disposition of man than subjection. And I think that's true. But on the other hand, mutual subjection and the practice of humility is essential to the work of the church and to the building up of the kingdom of God. And this is why Peter brings to us this very point in verse 5 of chapter 5 of his first letter. You younger, likewise, be subject to your elders, and all of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, for God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Just as it was true in Peter's day, it's true in our day. There are many, many troubles that confront us from outside the church. Temptations and trials and sufferings of all sorts. And Christians do not need the same kinds of pressures inside the church. They have enough of it outside of the church. It was that way in Peter's day. If you look at verse 19 of chapter 4, he says, therefore, let those who suffer according to the will of God entrust their souls to a faithful Creator in doing what is right. If you drop down in chapter 5, verses 8 through 10, he says, be sober in spirit, be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls about like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. But resist him firm in your faith, knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world. And after you have suffered for a little, the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. And again, it's into this kind of situation, this live situation, where Christians are faced with the stresses of life. It's into this kind of situation that Peter speaks. And Peter is constrained to give further directions to those who are of the church concerning their conduct within the church of the living God. In verses 1 through 4 of chapter 5, Peter has just given directions, specific directions, if you will, to the elders of the church. And now he turns to the younger members of the church, and he says, you younger, likewise, be subject to your elders. And then he turns to everyone in the congregation, in the flock of God, to give them directions. And he says, all of you, clothe yourselves with humility before one another. Peter, I think we can see very plainly, is urging submission and humility. And he goes on to give the reason why in the end of verse 5. He says, because God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And so we turn our attention this morning to the need for humility and submission within the church. First of all, Peter gives directions to the younger members of the church. Verse 5, the beginning of it again. You younger men, likewise, be subject to your elders. The word which is translated younger men in our New American Standard Version simply means young people. And the King James Version, I think, translates it a little bit better when it says, likewise, ye younger And it leaves it at that. Peter, you see, is talking to those who are younger in age or in faith. In other words, Peter is addressing teenagers, young people, the young, young single people, young married couples. And he says, likewise, you younger, be submissive to the elders. And if we look at our text again, this little word likewise, which is in the text, has some import if we are going to properly understand the text. Again, in verses 1 through 4, Peter has exhorted the elders of the church concerning their Christian duty within the context of the church. Now, in verse 5, Peter continues to be concerned about Christian duty within the context of the church. And so Peter says, likewise, similarly, or as the New International Version has it, in the same way, you younger folks also have a certain duty placed upon you. Be subject to your elders. Now, when Peter speaks of elders in verse 5, who does he mean? Well, I think Peter means the same elders that he speaks about in verse 1. In verse 1, he says, therefore I exhort the elders among you as your fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ. And he goes on to give directions to those elders. And in verse 5, he comes back to give directions to the younger in their relationship to those elders. And he says, be subject to the elders. The New International Version translates the word here in question, those who are older. But again, the King James Version has the better translation. It's simply elders. And I think this is confirmed by the fact that Peter, again, is talking about conduct, Christian conduct, in the context of the church. And Peter says very plainly, therefore, you younger, be submissive to the elders. Now, Peter has talked about this whole subject of submission earlier on in his letter. And if you turn back, for instance, to chapter 2, verse 13, you see him talking about this subject of submission. Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human institution, he says, to every ordinance of man. And I think it's important in this context to see that Peter is talking about the ordinances of men, human institutions. Institutions in this world which have been established for the betterment of society and the social intercourse of all of us, whether we're Christians or non-Christians. And so Peter is interested in these types of institutions in the second chapter. And he gives some examples of what he's talking about. Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether to a king as one in authority or to governors. The institution that Peter's interested in there is government. And then if you drop down to verse 18 in chapter 2, he says, servants, be submissive to your masters with all respect. If you remember when we talked about this particular verse, what Peter essentially is talking about is the employee-employer relationship, the business context, serving within that sort of context. And then in chapter 3, verse 1, he says, in the same way, you wives, be submissive to your own husbands, so that even if any of them are disobedient to the word, they may be won without a word by the behavior of their wives as they observe your chaste and respectful behavior. Of course, there Peter is interested in the institution of marriage. And within each one of these institutions, and he calls them human institutions, institutions which were established for the betterment of society, for all of us, whether we're Christians or non-Christians, within the context of each of those institutions, a certain submission is required. And I think we all recognize that. But now you see, as we get to chapter 5 and verse 5, Peter's concern is no longer with human institutions. Institutions established for the betterment of all men, Christian and non-Christian alike. Peter's concern now is with a divine institution, the church. Now, I think it's rather strange in our society today. Perhaps it really isn't strange when you examine it. But I think it's rather strange in our society today how we recognize the submission required by the governmental authorities or by our boss at work or the kind of submission that's necessary in marriage. We recognize those things. And for example, we'd never think about standing up to our boss to the point of getting fired because we need that job. We recognize the kind of submission that's necessary in that kind of relationship. But when it comes to the church, we very easily cast aside the Word of God as it comes to us through the elders of the church. But I'm as guilty as anyone. For some reason, the church and submission within the church is viewed as being far less important than that submission which we recognize in business or in government. But it's really not so. The work of the church is very grave and very important. I remember when Glenn Black and I traveled to Beaumont, Texas to visit one of the elders that is in our church down there. And this fellow has a rather important job. He's the chief engineer, or at least he was when we visited with him. He was the chief engineer on a project building a nuclear power plant down there. And he was in charge of all the engineering in this nuclear power plant. A responsible position, in charge of a multi-million dollar project, if you will. And I remember casually remarking to him about how responsible his job was. And this elder said to me, "The care of souls is far more important." And you know it's true. One human soul is worth far more than a nuclear power plant. And the work of the elder is the care of souls. As the writer to the Hebrews says, "Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls." Or as Peter says, "You younger, be subject to your elders." And you know what this means, young people? It means listen to the preaching of the Word of God. Don't just sit there and turn it off. It means listen to your Sunday school teachers. Learn the Word of God. The time is so little. Learn the Word of God. Learn that catechism. Be prepared to recite that catechism. Learn the doctrines of the Word of God. The elders in the church are interested in your spiritual welfare. And so Peter says, and I'm not saying this, the Bible is saying this, be subject to your elders. And then turning from the younger members of the church, Peter has something to say to everyone. And all of you, Peter says, whether young or old, whether you are an elder or a deacon or another member of the church, whether you're a mother or a father, whether you're a wife or a husband or a son or a daughter, all of you and each of you, I have some directions for you also. And here it is. Clothe yourselves with humility toward one another. Now what Peter is urging here is mutual submission. And if you have the King James Version of the Bible, there are some words in the text which regard submission to one another. They're not in the other versions because the earliest manuscripts do not contain those words. But the point is still the same. Peter is urging mutual submission within the church. As Paul says in Ephesians 5:21, be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. There is a mutual submission which is required of all of us. One of the ordination vows for ministers is, will you be submissive to your brethren in the Lord? I have to take that vow, and I believe in it, because there is a mutual submission which is required in the church. And I think, again, John Calvin has an interesting comment right here. He says, the husband is the head of the wife, yet he in turn is to be in some things subject to her. The father has authority over his children, and still he is not free from all subjection, but something is due to them. And it's true. We owe it to one another to love one another, to care for one another, to serve one another. And if this is going to happen, we must be clothed with humility. And that's why Peter brings it out. He says, and all of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another. And the word that Peter uses here, the word clothed, is real interesting because Peter, in using that word, is bringing before us a very graphic illustration. And the illustration is that of tying on an apron and securing it with a sturdy knot. Of course, the apron is the garment of service. And you put the apron on to serve others. You tie on an apron when you prepare yourself to serve others. And this is exactly what Peter is talking about. He says, in effect, tie on the apron of humility and prepare to serve one another. And of course, the best example of what Peter is talking about is the Lord Jesus Christ. You remember the scene in the upper room at the Last Supper of Jesus with his disciples. They are all reclined around the table. And Jesus gets up. He takes off his clothes and he ties a towel around his waist. And he begins to wash the feet of the disciples and to dry their feet with that towel that's wrapped around his waist. He takes, as it were, the apron of humility and begins the humble task of a servant. And do you remember Peter? What Peter's response to all of this was? He says, Lord, you'll never wash my feet. Peter had to learn the lesson of humility the hard way, seeing the Son of God bowed before him with a towel tied around his waist, washing his grimy feet. I doubt whether Peter could avoid thinking of this incident when he said to the Christians, and all of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another. But now a little bit more specifically, what does this word humility mean? Well, simply stated, it means putting the interests of others first. As Paul says, do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility let each of you regard one another as more important than himself. Humility means thinking more of others than you do of yourself. And you see, where there is real humility, there will be submission and service and care for one another.
And so you see, the problem, the root problem that Peter is getting at here is the problem of pride. And that's what he points us to when he says, "For God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble." Pride is the opposite of submissiveness and humility. And so Peter says, "You younger, be subject to your elders. And all of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another." Why? It's simple. Because God is opposed to the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. The root problem Peter is concerned with here is pride. And Peter quotes the Old Testament to support what he's talking about. In other words, he rests his argument on the Old Testament, quoting Proverbs 3:34. The real problem is pride. Pride needs to be beaten down. Peter's concern is not doctrinal here. Doctrinal errors within the church, heresy, must be opposed. But that's not what Peter's concern is here. Peter's concern is the sin of pride. But then why is it that pride is such a grave sin? Why is it that God is opposed to the proud? Well, let's look at it just very briefly. Pride in a person causes a person to think highly of himself, too highly of himself or herself. Pride consists in the feeling of puffed up self-sufficiency. And pride, therefore, feels that it deserves glory. Pride likes to garner glory to itself. And in this way, you see, it opposes God. The chief end of man is to glorify God. Paul says in 1 Corinthians, "Whatever you do, do all to the glory of God." And again, as the songwriter says, "To God be the glory, great things He has done." It's not man that's done great things, it's God that's done great things. And man is to seek the glory of God. Man is not to oppose himself to God by seeking glory for himself and assuming that he is self-sufficient, deserving of glory. Quite to the contrary, you see, man is dependent upon God in all things. And so God must oppose the proud, because the only way that God can show the proud that they are not self-sufficient is to beat down that pride. But then on the other hand, as we look at our text, God gives grace to the humble. Now I think we ought to get something straight here. And that is that the humble person recognizes their dependence upon God. They know that they're creatures of God, and they know that they're dependent upon God for everything, for life and for health and for whatever. And they give glory to God, therefore. I think a beautiful example comes to us in Abraham. And if you turn back quickly to Romans chapter 4, verses 19 and 20, we see that example before us of Abraham. Verses 19 and 20. "And without becoming weak in faith, he contemplated his own body, now as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. Yet with respect to the promise of God, he did not waver in unbelief, but grew strong in faith, giving glory to God." Oh, Abraham, if he had been proud, he would have said, "Look at me. I'm the one to whom God gave the promises." And he would have put himself before God. But he didn't do that at all, you see. He was submissive. And in all humility, he was giving the glory to God. And it's interesting how the text puts it, because it says, he grew strong in faith, giving glory to God. That's the literal rendering of it. He grew strong in faith, giving glory to God. In other words, he saw God for who he was, and he depended upon God to fulfill the promise. He didn't depend upon his own strength to fulfill that promise. He depended upon God. He gave God the glory. And because he gave God the glory, he grew strong in faith. Literally, it is, he was strengthened in faith, giving God the glory. This is a tremendous example. You see, strength comes through submissiveness. That's what it's all about. Strength comes through humility. Abraham, being humble before God, giving God the glory, grew strong in faith. And that's why Peter is able to say in 1 Peter 5:5, God gives grace to the humble. Do you see? Strength comes through humility and submissiveness. That's the great lesson. There is a hostile world out there. There's no question about it. And there are many temptations in this life to be faced. But there is a great path to the strength that we need to cope with those temptations and that hostile world. Young people, would you be ready to cope with life, with disappointments that come along in school, for instance? Then be submissive to your elders. That's part of the pathway to strength. And all of you, would you be strong, you see, to face the contingencies of life that are always coming up? Then clothe yourselves with humility toward one another. Humility, recognizing your utter dependence upon God, is the pathway to strength. God is opposed to the proud, but he gives strength to the humble. It's true, you see. It's very true. Contrary to popular belief in our world today, the path to real strength is the path of humility and submissiveness. Father in heaven, help us to understand these words and grant to us the grace, Father, that we might be clothed with humility, serving one another, submissive to one another, and thereby have the strength to live in this world. Bless us to that end, we pray, in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.